You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north in Aria, down south in Lod, and all the great cities in between Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review, listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, check us out at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, X, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media. We are there at The Sports Rabbi. Of course, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you in both languages. Lots of interviews, lots of previews, lots of highlights. Tons of stuff going on in the Israeli basketball world. Of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Cologne, all in European competition. The Israeli League back, of course, since the war, playing for the last couple of months, trying to get back up to steam if we've seen it in the past. Today, we're going to take you guys off to Belgrade, and we're going to meet with a person that I saw and hang out with a little bit back in January when I was in the great city of Belgrade in Serbia. It is Nikola Trovijevic of Basketball Sphere. Nikola, how you doing today? What's going on?
Yeah, thank you for this great intro of myself. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing very well. It's a bit rainy in Belgrade, but it's been a pretty good day. Thank you for asking.
All right, great. Now, Nikola, you should know, listeners out there, you should know that Nikola's probably seen more EuroLeague games live and in action than we have this season here in Israel. He's seen Maccabi Tel Aviv numerous times. Nikola has been fortunate, to, you know, was obviously without any EuroLeague games and European competitions due to the war against Hamas here in Israel since October. And most of the teams made their homes in Belgrade, Serbia. And Nikola has been had the opportunity to see Maccabi Tel Aviv play, to see the other teams as well, to see what's going on with the clubs up close and personal over the last few months. Of course, big game coming up between Maccabi Tel Aviv and Red Star Belgrade. And we're going to talk all about that. But, first of all, Nikola, talk a little bit about the experience of, going to those games at Pionier Hall and what it was like for you and the experience that you felt being able to see, Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball, whereas here in Israel, we haven't been able to see them live, of course, and in person.
Well, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be accepted by the PR of Maccabi Tel Aviv, and I'm very grateful for him letting me be at those games. I think I've been to... Now, I can put the exact number, 6 or 7 games, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the PR person you're talking about is Roy Gladstone, correct?
So we should. Yeah, I want to thank him publicly.
We should thank Roy Gladstone, yeah.
Yeah, and now when the first game that I've been to was against Olympiakos and Maccabi lost that in a tight game. Mm-hmm. And it was weird because Pionier, I'm used to it being really, really loud. Is the most acoustic gym, I think, in the EuroLeague. When you're in, it doesn't look that scary when it's empty. But when people are, it's all full of people, it's really, really crazy because of just how acoustic it is. The sound bounces off the walls basically all the time. And guys, I think it was really, really weird for me to see it that empty, firstly. But then, when you look at Maccabi, I think they have settled in pretty nicely, actually, there. The gym is always open. You know, we have, in Pionier, you have the famous cat Ljubica, and I think that was their patron saint, let's say it like that, in mm-hmm. some games, because she's at the stands all the time, and she watches all the games, so...
This is the cat, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, the famous cat, yeah.
The famous cat, so, the famous cat up here.
So, yeah, I think it was weird, firstly, when it was empty, but then you kind of get used to the silence of it, the the loneliness of an empty gym. And it's really lonely when you look at it. You don't have anyone behind you. I mean, the players' families are still there, but and when you compare it to their gym in Norma Taf team, it's way, way different. So I think it was weird for them at first to get used to it because they didn't have the support that they're used to. But then they settled in quite nicely, and I think now they have a really big home court advantage when you look at it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Of course, I was at the Panathinaikos game at Pioneer. You know, it reminded me a lot of going to the games during COVID because as press people, we were the few people that were allowed to go to games. And I was able to travel the country and I was, you know, going to one empty gym after the next. It was crazy. It was obviously similar to that. Definitely the players have, you know, gotten used to it without a question. It's an odd situation. Of course, Maccabi Tel Aviv players really moved to Belgrade after October 7th. The players were given apartments, I believe also cars, at least in the months of October, November, December, January. In February already, I think they kind of closed up their, you know, that home, the home away from home. Most of them moved back to Israel because the Israeli league had pretty much gotten back to normal. Things here are quieting down with the war. When you're with your experience seeing the games there in Belgrade, what were you able to take from seeing the players? What did you see? You know, did you find that they adjusted well? Was there, you know, one player that stood out above others? Did you find that sometimes the benches had to get more involved, or there was somebody that was really trying to, you know, evoke the cheers to try to get people more, you know, the players that are sitting on the bench to at least try to get more into the game itself?
Yeah, I think that was the case, actually. I think in some points they looked like fish out of water, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very strange situation when you play in an empty gym. I don't know if I have ever played as a kid in an empty gym. There's always somebody around. But as you said, only press people and people that are delegates at the games are basically present there, and the players' families if they want to be at the games. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the atmosphere can be built by the people that work in the club. You know, they sometimes mm-hmm. chant, they sometimes whistle, you know, try to help the team in any way possible. And I think that's mm-hmm. really important because obviously the factor of an empty gym is very, very big. But when you have somebody, some voice actually that is behind you, that can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. And I think Maccabi actually lived off of that in some games, especially in the game against Virtus when I was mm-hmm. there. It was really, let's say, tight in the first half, but in the second half, they played amazingly. So I think that helped actually is in some situations because they attacked the basket. Virtus attacked the basket that I was behind and all the people from the club are behind.
Mm-hmm.
So in some situations, you know, some whistles, some here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that could be helpful. So yeah, and I think John Di Bartolomeo was really like sad about everything because he didn't play, he was injured.
Right.
And he was always on the sides, but he was really helpful in that period when he was injured, because obviously he's the team captain and everything. But his voice, I think, was really, really helpful
mm-hmm.
in some situations. And then Bonzi, I think, really adjusted well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, he had some amazing games here. Mm-hmm. He was the MVP of, I can't remember actually which round. But here, I think he adjusted really, really well here and to the life here. And so, yeah, I think that some guys obviously adjusted a bit better, some didn't, but that's the situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, of course. Of course, we're on here with Nikolai Trubjevich of Basketball Sphere talking about Maccabi in Belgrade and the experiences that he went through. Bonzi Colson, interestingly enough, came out to speak in the post-game press conference this week after a league game, and he was talking about, you know, how you know, how it was great to be back at, you know, at the home arena for an Israeli league game where there's 10,000 people there. And, you know, there's the energy and, you know, they miss that. It's definitely something that they miss. Now, I can guarantee you on Thursday night, there won't be any energy problem at Stark Arena when Maccabi Tel Aviv takes on Ravenna, Zvezda, Red Star, Belgrade, of course, in a big, huge matchup for Maccabi Tel Aviv. They have not beaten Red Star in Serbia since 2013, you should know. Maccabi definitely is, you know, fighting for a, you know, play in slash even maybe playoff spot with six games to go. Red Star, of course, is 10-18. Yanis Feropoulos, former coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv, is now their head coach. What do you see from this game, you know, as a, you know, bird's eye view?
Well, it's a big game, obviously, as you said, big game for both teams. I think for Maccabi, of course, because they're chasing that prize sixth spot and everything. I think it's really important for them. But as you said, as for some reason, Zvezda always kind of bothers Maccabi. I can't put it why, but they can't come to play against Maccabi for some reason. I don't know why. and especially in the last three games, I would say. So obviously Maccabi had a great home record last year, and I think only Zvezda and Barcelona beat them there. So that goes to show, for some reason, Zvezda always fires up the engines when they play Maccabi.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. Not sure quite why, but we were talking about that today, a few guys, myself and a few guys. So, yeah, you were going to say, sorry.
No problem. But I think that every EuroLeague team, especially that played in the last couple, let's say 10 years, has that one team that always bothers them in some way. Not necessarily with their quality of play or whatever, or their quality team, but there's always that one team that bothers them. And I think for Maccabi, that's Zvezda for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things. There's always one team, and that's definitely the case here. You're looking at the Maccabi Tel Aviv roster. Pretty much everybody is going to be available. You're going to see the regulars, except for Roman Sorokin, who is going to still be out. He is not going to be available for this game. He is still injured. But everybody else should be ready to go. I understand that Milos Teodosic will not be playing against the Maccabi. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And who else is not going to be playing? I heard there's a number of players that will be out.
So Nikola Topic is out also, mm-hmm. and Trey Tompkins, who still hasn't played the game for Zvezda.
Okay, so he's there. Milos Teodosic obviously had a huge part in the victory at Pioneer Arena a couple months ago. He was tremendous. I mean, it was watching him play. He's worth the price of admission. I don't care how old he is. I'd say he is worth it at 23, 27, 37. It doesn't matter. He is the player that you want to see play. He was tremendous. And, of course, it's good for Maccabi that he's not playing in this game. But, you know, again, you know, for the fans, if you're a real basketball fan, you love to watch Milos. He's an absolute magician. He is so smart, so intelligent, such an incredible basketball player. Nikola, talk a little bit about what Milos Teodosic means to yourself, people that obviously are fans of Red Star Belgrade and Serbian basketball as a whole.
Milos, for me, well, I watched that man since I was actually 7 or 8 years old. So goes to show how old he is and how young I am. So, but nevertheless, Milos this season, I have not seen him play this emotional ever. So last month I was in Niš where the Serbian Cup is played.
Sure.
And he didn't play the first game because of his injury, his ankle injury that is still bothering him. Then he played in the semifinals against the second tier team, Čačak 94, which shout out to those guys. And in the final, he was ready. At every timeout, I think that Zvezda's physical therapist massaged his left leg, so to keep him going, to keep him playing. But then at 57-53, third quarter for Zvezda, it was a transition, and he pulled up from like 1.5 meters basically and swished it. And that was such an emotional outburst from him, and I've never seen it in my life from him. So I think that he plays his best basketball right now, even at 37. But flashing back to that, I think that also he didn't play with this kind of an emotional approach ever, even when he was the captain of the national team. So that goes to show how important this season is for him. And I think people gotten his, I mean, I wanted to see him in Serbian basketball, in club Serbian basketball, when he was like 30. So basically around the time when he got into the NBA, but that wasn't possible then. But still, he reminds me how great he is every day, every highlight, every play, how great he is, even at this age. And of course, as the national team captain, I mean, just go watch the basket against Spain and you'll see how much he means to the team, not just the team, but also the whole country as a whole.
No, for sure. You know, Nikolai, tell me a little bit about Yanis Varopoulos. We know him very well here in Israel. You know, he coached Maccabi Tel Aviv for a number of years. I got to go know him very, very well. Always a gentleman, a good coach, professional coach. He understands his environment. He understands. He's respectful. He is always high class, top class. How has his first few months been so far with the club, and what, you know, what are going to be the expectations from him over the summer? Because of course he inherited a team that was, you know, that was in trouble, and you know, they've had some nice wins, they've had some tough losses, but he's going to really only be able to put his mark on the team this coming summer in the transfer market also. So talk a little bit, if you could, about Yanis Varopoulos and his impact so far.
I think, well, as you know, that it's always difficult to take over a team in the middle of the season, especially only after four games when the team hasn't settled in yet. And it's always a tough job. But I think Yanis did a very, very good job in taking that dose of positivity into the team, you know, because they needed it. They were in a hole basically and dug themselves out, especially in the cup. When you see it, he prepared the three derbies when he took over. So there were the first two were in October and November, if I remember, and both of them they lost against Partizan. But the next three, sorry, it's my dog barking.
No problem. Always welcome on the show.
The other three derbies were so well prepared by him, especially the EuroLeague one, where Zvezda most of the time had a 20-point lead. So it goes to show how good of a coach he is. The second one was also very, very well prepared, but they let the Partizan get right back into the game.
Right.
Which I didn't like, and Yago hit what he did.
Yes, I was there. It was amazing. I got a video of it. It was amazing what Yago did at the end of the game. It was a great game, and the atmosphere was great. It'd been the second time I was in the arena. I'd been there for a Maccabi game a number of years earlier, so it was spectacular. But I mean, all in all, they tired out. I think he said in the press conference afterwards they were quite exhausted the last 5 minutes of that game. So
when you play in a great pace for let's say 35 minutes. Let's say something like that. It's very, very difficult to keep that shape in the last 5 minutes. Yeah. And I think any coach will tell you that. So, yeah, I think that he brought a dose of freshness to the team. And I think it was a good decision to call up Nikola Topic back from loan, even though he's injured. But that kid could be very, very special in the coming years. So we'll see when he returns, and I think he will be ready for the last stretch of the season, especially come playoff time.
Well, that would be good. Who has surprised you with Red Star this season? Is there one or two players that you've been, you know, wow, this player really exceeded expectations?
Well, first and first, Joel Bolenboy. I mean,
great player.
What a player. What a player he has been for Zvezda this season, honestly. The public's reaction when he signed was like, oh, you know, he played in CSKA and Olympiakos, but he isn't that good of a player, you know. But he shut those expectations up. I mean, I can say anything else. He plays great, great basketball. He's athletic. He catches everything. He flies to the rim when he needs to. And I think that the biggest reason why I personally like him is he's very, very quiet, very reserved player. He doesn't yell when he dunks the ball often. He doesn't, you know, speak to the refs, do stupid things. He's very, very reserved. And that's the reason why I like him. So, yeah, I mean, I expected a lot more from Mike Toby, maybe, especially after the World Cup, where he had a pretty good showing with Slovenia.
Right.
And yeah, I just think that he didn't fit into this team, especially. But yeah, you know, it's sometimes you fit in, sometimes you don't, and
right.
That's the nature of the sport, basically.
So, is there another player that you want to put your finger on that, you know, boy, I was impressed with this year?
Well, I can say Iago has been very, very impressive. I didn't expect
I agree.
Him. Yeah. He was. I thought that he came here like, let's say, a project player. You know how some teams have project players and they develop them for the years.
Right. There's Noam Yaakov, who's an Israeli at Villebron, and Jan Madar, who is still developing. I don't know what happened with Sharas, but he hasn't played very much with Fenner since the coaching change. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, that's basically what he is to Zvezda. But especially when Teodosic was out, he had some really, really big games scoring-wise, assisting-wise. And I think last week he almost had a triple-double against Krka. So really, really impressive. And he was the MVP of the round. So yeah, bright future for him. And I think if he stays in Zvezda for the duration of his contract, he can be a really important player in the coming years.
Of course, we're on here with Nikola Trebejic, talking about basketball, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Red Star Belgrade. But I want to talk a little bit about Basketball Sphere. Talk a little bit about that website. I've enjoyed some of the articles you have up there. It's a great website. It's very up-to-date, all kinds of EuroLeague action and you know, analysis and great interviews. You did a fabulous interview, I should point out, with Igor Milicic, who, of course, won the Italian Cup with the Napoli team. Also, he's the head coach of Poland. I have a funny story about Igor, which I'll tell you a little bit later, from the Eurobasket. But talk a little bit about your work with Basketball Spheres. But it's a fantastic website.
First of all, thank you for the kind words. I'm blushing right now. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to know the editor, and we met basically at a seminar back in, I think, June or July. I can't remember exactly. And we talked about a bit of the website and how it works and whatnot. And he offered me a job, and I accepted it dearly. And from that point on, I think my career has been towards an uphill, you know, let's say like that. But yeah, I had the opportunity to work with some great, great people there, and I still do. And I want to give a massive shout out to all those guys. They're really good guys, really, really good journalists, actually. No, no like sensationalist quotes, no sensational headlines or whatever. Just
it's a serious
pure
website.
Journalism. Yeah, serious website with serious people that take their work really, really serious. Let's say it like that. And I think that we are going towards an uphill trajectory again as a website, not with just the quality interviews that we do, and articles, of course. But yeah, so
When you did the interview with Cody Miller McIntyre, did you know he was going to be such a superstar?
I don't think that he even knew, because I have a weird anecdote about that. I asked him about, because he was at that point of the season, he was close to a triple double,
yes,
multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about them, and he said, "Man, I don't care. Whatever, if it happens, it happens." You know, he carried himself like that, and then a month later, he does it, and I was in awe because players usually say, "Well, yeah, it would be nice, but if it happens, it happens." He just said, "I don't care," you know. And yeah, Cody, I obviously has experience playing here, and he knows what a tough crowd Serbians are. And yeah, I think his confidence level has been amazing this season, and I'm very grateful that I did a really, really long interview with him. And I still don't know if he knew what was going to happen.
It's really amazing, but it's great. You look at the interviews that are on the website. You have so many interviews here: Xavi Pascual, Bruno Caboclo, Sergio Scariola, Nathan Ruvers, Krunoslav Simon. You did as well back in January. There's just like, you know, Tyreek Jones, of course, who played in Israel. Israel Gonzalez is here. Tuomas Ilsosa is here. Shane Larkin. I mean, and none of them are behind the paywall. So if you want to read the interviews, of course, there's also your one with Lorenzo Brown. They're all accessible. You don't have to pay anything extra to get into those articles, and it's great stuff. I enjoy reading good interviews, and I found that the basketball sphere has some great ones out there, and I want to wish you the best of luck with it. I think it's a great up and coming website, and
thank you.
It's some great, really great stuff. So before we let you go here, I got to know, Nicola, what's going to happen with Maccabi Tel Aviv and Red Star Belgrade? Are we going to see Maccabi Tel Aviv finally breaking the curse and winning a game at Stark Arena? Are they not going to blow a huge lead that they had against Partizan a couple months ago? Are they going to finally win, or is Red Star, Yanis Haropoulos still has this magic over the Maccabi Tel Aviv, franchise, and he's going to be able to take the big victory?
I'm just going to put it this way. When Miloš Teodosic isn't playing, Zvezda doesn't have a single win in the EuroLeague this season.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the case tomorrow. So, Maccabi, I think, has a huge opportunity to win tomorrow. Zvezda, I think they will try, of course, to defend their home court, and there will obviously be around 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, different factors to the game. Depends on who shows up to the game and being fired up. So, yeah, we will see. And I think that I'm going to give the slight edge towards Maccabi because they're in great shape and they're chasing that playoff spot. So they may play with a little bit of desperation. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, we'll definitely see. This was incredible. This was a good time. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story about, I'll leave you off with a story about Igor Milicic. Of course, he was the head coach of Poland that went to the Eurobasket. And Israel was in the same group in the Eurobasket. And he decided to open up the practice for the last 10 minutes or so, which is standard protocol in the Eurobasket. And of course, we all came in, and some of us were taking pictures, and others were videoing, including myself, some of the practice. And he decided to do tactical tactical work while they had opened up the practice, which is rare. I mean, the fact that he would do tactical stuff with the practice open for the last 10 minutes is odd, especially when the media is there and it's free rein. So so some of us were videoing and some of us were taking pictures, and then all of a sudden Igor comes storming over to our area where we are, and he started with one of the journalists. And he said, "I saw you videoing, and you're not allowed to be videoing." And the journalist was like, "I didn't do anything." It was, and it's true, he didn't. We were all standing there, and one of the other guys is going, "Oh, he didn't do anything. He really didn't." Meanwhile, the bunch of us had all had videos, but he was going after the wrong guy, and it was so funny. I mean, it was the tactical work was like 2 minutes. It was like nothing with nothing, but it was like so odd, and we were like, listen, coach, don't worry. It's not going to make a difference in your game against Israel anyways, this 2 minute clip, even if somebody was going to give it to the national team.
Yeah.
Nobody did, and it didn't make a difference. Poland won the game anyways. And of course, we know that Igor Milicic took the Poland team very deep into that tournament. And he earned a lot of respect amongst the Israeli public. You should know that. He's very close with Nikolai Vucic, who, of course, was the general manager of Maccabi Tel Aviv. And they were looking at one point as, could possibly Igor Milicic eventually, come to Maccabi Tel Aviv down the road. So, who knows if that will be the case. But I'm sure that young, good coach, solid, good man. I like him a lot. I think he's a solid coach. And I think you felt that same way for me,
right? Yeah. Yeah,
he's an up and coming guy. He's gonna go far.
Yeah, definitely. So he's amazing. He's an amazing person. Amazing coach in a sense that he prepared. I mean, when you just look at this, he prepared 3 games in 3 days against the first place team in Serie A.
Wait.
So, sorry, my headphones died.
no problem.
Yeah, my headphones died. Sorry, and. Yeah, he prepared 3 games against 3 very, very difficult teams, especially Milan in the final, and he won all those games. So I would like to see him in the EuroLeague, not just in Maccabi, which I think will be a very good fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we shall see. We shall see.
We shall see. Nikolai Trevievich, this was incredible. This was a lot of fun. Looking forward to the big game, and I want to thank you for coming on board. Where can people reach out to you? Where can, if people want to read your work or follow you, where can they go?
Well, Twitter, Trbojevic Nikola, that's my ad. Okay. Instagram also, _Trbojevic_, that's my Instagram handle. And yeah, just read Basketball Sphere, where we put daily texts every day some new articles.
Definitely good stuff. We will definitely tag you in all the places, and I want to thank you very much for coming on board today. This is great. Thanks again, and
thank you.
We'll speak to you soon.